from the book of Acts and chapter 6. Book of Acts and chapter 6. I said this morning that over the few Sundays that I'll be with you in the mornings, God willing, we'll be looking at conversations with Jesus. In the evenings, there's one less evening, we will be looking at examples of the faith from the New Testament. They're all men. That's not me being sexist. Maybe next time we'll look at the ladies who are great examples. But these are just the ones that appealed to me as I was thinking and preparing. So we're going to read from Acts chapter 6. We're not going to read all of it, but we will just read sections. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered together all the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these words to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the province of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom which the Spirit gave him as he spoke. They had secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stops speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And then chapter 7 and verse 54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard Stephen's speech, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of their killing him. This is the word of the Lord. So Stephen, who was he? He's the first Christian martyr, killed with the consent of Saul, who later became Paul, around about AD 35. His background and his name are Greek. And he was one of the first 7 deacons chosen to take care of the church widows after a disagreement between Jews and Hellenistic Jews, those of Greek education, had escalated into friction. There was a problem in the church. 2 sets of people fighting each other, bickering, complaining. And the disciples, the apostles, said, "We need to do something about this." They gathered together to discuss it, and I'm sure they prayed as well. And at this point they said, we have been chosen by God to preach. We have been chosen by God to pray. He hasn't asked us to wait at tables. Now, they're not saying they're too good to wait at tables. I'm sure if God had told the apostles to do it, they would have done. What they're saying is God has given them another task to do, and they can't be distracted from what they're supposed to be doing by doing something else. And so they said, this must be sorted out. We can't have this sort of disagreement. It's not good for the church. It's not good for the church's witness. Let's sort it. And so they say, I know what we'll do. We will choose 7 men who are full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And this will be their responsibility. Sounds good thinking, doesn't it? Because we know, we're told, don't we, that each one of us who belongs to Jesus has a part to play. We all have different roles to play. The apostle said, we're praying. We're ministering. Someone else is going to do the preaching. And we need someone else to sort this problem out. We all have a different role to play. And it's important that we do the correct role. And it's important that the problems are sorted out. And so they chose these 7 men. We have some of their names. We have Nicholas of Antioch, Parmenas, Timon, Nicanor, Prochorus, Philip, of more later in the year, and Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. How is he described? Well, first of all, he is described as a man of faith. If you're going to do God's work, first of all, you have to have your faith in God and belong to him. Otherwise, you're just doing work. He was full of faith. He was full of saving faith, first of all. He put his trust in Jesus. We don't read how that happened or when or why, but he must have done. He had faith in Jesus. But it wasn't a faith that was just once. It was a day-by-day faith. He was a man full of faith. He believed that what God said God meant, what God said God would do. If God called him to do something, he would do it. God made a promise, God would keep it. He was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He had allowed God's Holy Spirit to take control of him. When we put our trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. But we have to allow him to fill us day by day, not just in a once-off experience, but again and again and again. Paul says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. That's why I sang that song about Holy Spirit, come and abide with me. Yes, he lives in me, but does he abide in me? Is he at home? Am I allowing him to fill my life? Stephen did. He was a man full of faith. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit. We read that he was a man full of wisdom. That's needed, isn't it? It was a man full of wisdom. When the problems arrived, when people had questions, who did they go to? They went to Stephen. When opposition came and they tried to argue with him, who knew the right answers? It was Stephen. He wasn't just clever. He didn't just know it all in his head. He was wise. There's a difference, isn't there? Sometimes we say, there's some people who are so intelligent, but haven't got an ounce of wisdom. You know, that's not what being spiritual is about. It's not about knowing it all. It's not about being able to quote all the verses or know where they all come from or knowing lots of theology. It's all about being wise. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to do what? Make you wise. And Stephen didn't have much, just most of the Old Testament. But he was a wise man because he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him. So he was full of the Spirit. He was full of faith. He was full of wisdom. He was full of God's grace. A man full of God's grace. You see, he could have been proud, couldn't he? I know more than you do. I've been picked to be a deacon. He was full of God's grace. Grace is God's love to all people. Grace is accepting people as they are, but then trying to change them. Loving them for Christ's sake. He's full of God's grace. Not proud, but humble. Serving others. That's grace, isn't it? He's full of grace. And he's full of God's power. God has given him the power to do all sorts of things. He is able to do wonders and signs among the people. Can the same be said of us? Are we people of faith? I trust and believe so. We've all put our faith in Jesus as our Saviour. But more than that, that day by day we are walking by faith, trusting in him. Even when we can't see the way ahead, even when we can't understand the things that we're going through, even though we wonder at times what's going on, are we walking in faith? One of the verses we had this morning was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Are we full of faith? If we're not, we can come to him and say, Lord, you know, my faith sometimes wavers. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Just help me to keep on trusting in you. And you know, the wonder of it isn't that how much faith we have. That's who we put our faith in. He will hold on to us and lead us through. Are we full of faith? Are we full of the Holy Spirit? You might say, oh, well, I had an experience 5 years ago, or 3 years ago, or yesterday. Are we full of the Holy Spirit today? Was it Spurgeon who said, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit regularly because I leak? You know, we allow the Holy Spirit to take control of us one day and the next we push him out of the way. Are we full of the Holy Spirit? Are we full of wisdom? Wise words, wise thoughts, good advice, good example. Are we full of God's grace, showing it to others? The grace that's been shown to us, we show to those who either don't know him yet, or those who annoy us. Those who are a pain. Those who don't do things the way that we want to do things. Are we full of God's grace towards them, showing them our favour and our love? Are we full of God's power? I'm not saying we can all do the same things that Stephen did. We will do the things that God wants us to do. But it will be through his power, and he will show us what he wants us to do, if only we will allow him to lead us through his Spirit. If we're Christians, the Holy Spirit lives in us, says Paul in Galatians. But are we allowing him to fill us every day? Are we growing in wisdom and knowledge of God as we read the scriptures? Stephen was wise because he knew the scripture and put it into practice. Are we living by faith, not just for salvation, but trusting in God day by day? Are we showing God's grace to others? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Are we living in the power of God, the one who gives us the power to do whatever he calls us to do? Stephen was called, at least at first, to do a humble job. Go and sort these women out, he says. Go and sort these people out. They don't think they're getting the fair share of the care and the food. So you go and sort them out. And then set up what you're going to do to look after them. I suppose he could have said, go and look after a bunch of women. Go and sort them all out. Because in those days, widows were pretty unimportant. That's why this was so amazing that the Christians wanted to help out. He was given a humble job to do. Are we prepared to serve God in any way that he calls? Or do we say, doesn't sound very exciting. That doesn't sound as if I'll get very popular or famous. I don't want to do the washing up. I don't want to clean the carpets. I don't want to shift the chairs. I'd rather do something where everyone can see me. Are we prepared to serve God in any way that he calls? Stephen didn't wait until he was asked to do something and then become spiritual. He was spiritual already. And his daily life prepared him for what God had called him to do. And I said, it was how I'd love to be a missionary. Have you ever told anyone about Jesus? Oh no, I couldn't do that. I'd love to be a preacher. Have you ever done, told anyone about Jesus? Oh no, couldn't do that. Every day of our lives, we should be preparing for the time when God might say to us, now I want you to do something else. Stephen started off waiting at tables. Ended up performing great wonders and miracles. Ended up speaking God's word to people. Because he was willing to humbly serve, the word of God spread. Right, the problem got sorted out. The number of disciples increased. Even priests joined the faith. And God gave him other works to do, including healing and wonders. Jesus tells us that if we can be trusted with little, we can be trusted with more. Remember the parable where the servants are given some money, some talents. And, you know, the one hides it in the ground, but the others, they make the more of the talents that they've got. And Jesus says, because you've been faithful in little, now I'll give you something greater to do. I'm sure even the most amazing evangelists, even the most famous people that we think of as famous Christians, if they're really godly, started off doing something really small. Paul reminds us that each of us is necessary in the body of Christ. Are we doing our part? Even if it seems small, it is necessary and can have great effect. The effect of these seven men sorting out the church's problem, taking on this work, the word of God spread. Isn't that what we want? We want the word of God to spread. We want the number of disciples to increase. I don't know about priests, but we want priests to become Christians too. What sort of priests? I'm not sure. But we want them to become Christians, don't we? We want the word to spread and people to come to know God. However, all sounds good, doesn't it? Yes, Stephen, full of wisdom, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, doing what God wants him to do, helping the people, preaching the word. And there was jealousy. See, doing God's work doesn't necessarily mean that things will go well. I said this last week in a totally different context. I was watching, we've only got one God channel on our telly, so I was watching the God channel on our telly. And a bloke was standing at the front shouting, as they do quite often. Some of it's good, but this one wasn't. Saying, if you trust in God and give him so much money, I can promise you that you will live a long life, that you will live a healthy life, that you will have a happy life. I turned it off. I thought, I can't be doing with this. And it was ironic that on the same day as he was spouting all this stuff, that someone had put on my Facebook, it's 60 years to the day since five young men went into the Ecuadorian jungle to meet the Indians there, tell them about Jesus. And all of them were speared to death at age under 30. John the Baptist was 30 when he lost his head. Our Lord Jesus was 33. I'm not saying that God doesn't give some people long life, happy lives, everything they ask for. Well, perhaps not everything they ask for. But doing God's work doesn't necessarily mean that your life is going to be swimmingly good. It can lead to opposition. And so these people, they want to destroy Stephen's reputation. He's a blasphemer. He says things he shouldn't say. They want him dead. This is a good man who was full of faith, helping people that were poor and preaching the word, and some people want him dead. Sound familiar? He's the first martyr, the first of many. Things don't change, do they? How did he react? Well, we didn't read chapter 7 because it's very long. But as he's taken in front of this court, this Sanhedrin, they look at him and his face is like the face of an angel. I'm not quite sure what the face of an angel is like, but they must have known. They looked at him. Certainly didn't look cross or grumpy. Didn't look angry. Didn't look bitter. He had the face of an angel. And as he is accused of all these falsehoods, he draws on his knowledge of Scripture. If you read chapter 7, he just goes through the Old Testament. He knows Scripture. We want to be able to stand in days of difficulty, and maybe even persecution. We need to know the Scriptures. We need to know God's Word in all our days of trouble. We may not have big trouble, but even as we get older, you know, I quite often go into Hebron Hall, to Bethel House, to see the elderly people there. And a lot of them have forgotten all sorts of things. But I tell you what, you start quoting Scripture, you start singing hymns, they're up there. They know them. In our times of trouble, in our times of difficulty and persecution, we need to know God's word. Otherwise, we will fall. Because we will tell ourselves that God doesn't care, that God isn't with us, that we're on the losing side, not the victory side. We know God's word, and it's in our hearts. We will keep going. Stephen knew God's word. He was bold. He spoke to them boldly. There are times that we need to be bold. There are times we need to speak quietly. There are times we need to speak boldly. We need to ask God to give us the wisdom to know which is which. He confronted people with the truth. He said what was necessary to say. He said, "You didn't obey. You didn't do this. You're a stiff-necked people. You're not listening." Imagine if your preachers came along and started talking like that, you might not invite them again. He was bold and he confronted people with the truth. You need to do something about this. You need to repent. You need to change your ways, he says. And when at last they've had enough, they gnash their teeth, they're furious. They cover their ears so they can't hear him talking. They rush at him, then presumably take their hands off their ears, drag him out of the town, and start stoning him. What does he do? He looks up to heaven. He looks up to heaven. He prays for his enemies and commits himself to God. Can we do that on those bad days, on those days when we think that everyone and everything is against us? Do we look up to heaven and see Jesus standing there? The hymn says, "Upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin." Do we look up to see our Saviour? Do we pray for those who are persecuting us, those who are disagreeing with us, those we think are causing us trouble? Do we pray for them? And do we commit ourselves to God? "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," he says. We need to do the same. Remember, how we live, how we react, how we speak is noticed by other people. the throwaway line, if you like, at the end of this chapter or the beginning of the next, depending on where your margin is. Saul approved of their killing him. Saul, who became Paul, never ever forgot what he saw that day. Acts chapter 22 and verse 20. He says this: "When the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." In 26 and verse 10. "On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished and tried to force them to blaspheme." And 1 Timothy chapter 1. "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man." He would never forget what he saw that day. That the man whose execution he accused, he organized and stood by to watch, asked God to forgive him, committed his life to God, and went to heaven. I love the way it says that he fell asleep. He's been stoned to death. It says he fell asleep. God took him home. God didn't save him from the persecution. He took him home. And Paul never forgot that. Let's remember that whatever we say, whatever we do, however we react, people are looking. We are, as I often say, a sermon in shoes, good or bad. We are a letter, Paul says. We are a witness. Let's pray that we might follow the example of Stephen, full of faith, full of the Spirit, full of power, full of wisdom, willing to serve, ready to forgive, willing to stand up for Jesus, whatever that means. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your word we are given examples of people who followed you. Lord, none of them were perfect, but so many of them are such good examples for us. We thank you for Stephen. We thank you that he was willing to follow you and serve you, and that he was even willing to give up his life for you. Father, you may not ask that of us, although many people are being asked to do that, even in our world at the moment. But Father, we pray that day by day we will continue to trust in you and allow your Spirit to fill us, so that wherever we go, we will witness to your love and your power and your grace. And that in those times of difficulty, we will keep on trusting you, committing ourselves into your loving hands. And so we thank you for your word, and ask that your Spirit will take it. Take the bits that will be useful and helpful and a blessing, and lodge them in our hearts, that we might love you more and serve you better in the days that lie ahead. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour, who went all the way to death for us, but thou is alive forevermore. Amen.